to us all. Merciful, loving, all the above. We serve an awesome, awesome and mighty God. We are grateful today to be in his presence. Learn not to take that lightly, being in God's presence. Amen. That it's a privilege to be in God's presence. It's an honor to be in God's presence. The more we treat it lightly.
Yeah.
The more we treat it lightly, America. The more we treat it lightly. That God says you better tread lightly.
Yeah.
Don't come into my presence any kind of way. Don't come into worship with me any kind of way. Don't come in here any kind of way. Look at it. I think the word says the way. I should enter his gates with thanksgiving. I should enter his courts with praise. Amen. So can we do that? Give God some praise. As we do it, honor him with worship and song. We're going to honor his word. And God, we are grateful to be in your presence today. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. You remain standing for the reading of God's word. If you have your Bible, if not, it'll be on the screen. Genesis chapter 6, starting with verses 9 and 10, amen. Genesis 6, verses 9 and 10. And it reads as follows. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Message, I need to press start on my family. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. I need to press start on my family. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. In order of it being Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday this weekend coming up, a man who I believe was trying to press start on the not only on the black family for fair treatment, but all families as well.
Come on.
He was at the forefront of what? Equality in everything that matters. On our behalf, our freedom, but also our money as well. I believe the dream could be summed up in this saying, to unite every man to love his family and every neighbor, to everyone to love their neighbor as themselves. If we all did that, the world would be a better place. But unfortunately, because of sin, we have a long way to go. For real. Last week, I told you, we looked to the life of the biblical figure who doesn't have much written about him, Enoch. We only have a few verses written about Enoch, but they speak volumes to the life he lived. I can't recap all of last week's sermon. Watch the replay. But Enoch set up a lineage in a very certain way. He set up his lineage that they worship God by name. And we know through his lineage that he was what? His great-grandson is another famous figure named Noah. Well, I find it funny. People try to discredit the ark and the flood. There's geological and scientific proof of the flood. There's also engineering evidence that the ark, not only was it made in such a way that would have survived the flood, that boats today still follow those dynamics and those measurements to make boats float to this day. That God is awesome and knows what he does.
Yes, he does.
So look at Genesis 6 and 2. Let's start off at the beginning. There were the sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any they wanted as their wives. So this is where we start at, y'all. So you press start. We're going to be in the book of Genesis this whole series. But the sons of God, the angels that had fallen, right? So these angels that had fallen, they come down. They see how beautiful the women are on the earth. And they say, look here, I got to have one. She's a baddie, amen. I got to have her. They look good. I want a wife that want one of these women. So they come and they have children with these women, and they make this hybrid of human being mixed with angels and humans and start living on the earth. So you can imagine what a hybrid is. Crazy. Let's look at verse 4. In those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites or Nephilim lived on the earth. Whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. So we have these beings whose fathers are angels. That means they have superior knowledge about the spiritual realm. They have superior knowledge about the spiritual realm. They have knowledge other ones don't have. They have insight. They have influence in a way that are almost like the first content creators. They have all this insight. They're smart. They get all this stuff from their fathers, and everybody is worshiping them. They're amazed about how great these people are. So it changed all of humanity. This is how it changed it. Look at verse 5. The Lord God observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. My God.
Wow.
Lord have mercy.
Wow.
Can you imagine an earth where everybody's thoughts and everything they imagined was consistently and totally evil?
Jesus.
Can y'all imagine that? Can you imagine an earth where a six-year-old could bring a gun to school and kill their teacher? Can you imagine an earth where people will be enslaved for 400 plus years? Their women raped, their children beat, they're sold, and then when they finally get freedom, get no finances, are still not treated right? Because of the color of their skin?
Come on.
Can you imagine an earth where people sell poison in their own community all because of a piece of paper with a number on it? Can you imagine an earth where people shoot people for any reason? I don't like you. You stepped on my shoes. You disrespected me. I got road rage. Or you're romantically involved with someone I might not even want?
Jesus.
Can you imagine an earth where prostitution and sex trafficking is illegal, but the moment you record it and sell it to the masses, it's entertainment?
Can you imagine
an earth like, because the Bible said back in Genesis it was constantly evil, and I can't help but think we're in those same times now. I find it funny Jesus said this, that the sign of his return being near would be like the days of Noah. People were running around marrying and partying and getting drunk, doing whatever they wanted to do, and had no clue a flood was about to happen. Even though a brother was building a 450 long boat, they had no clue that a flood was about to happen, even though this great, gigantic boat was being filled. We have had signs and signs, watch this, but some of us are so wrapped up, we don't get it. We wrapped up in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and we don't even realize what's going on. Wake up, church. It's raining outside, a flood is coming, and we don't even realize what is going on. God is upset to the point he even made man right now. He like, y'all just throw the whole creation away.
Wow.
It's just bad out here. Y'all tripping. Everybody's evil. Everybody's doing their own thing. It's all messed up. But I like God, because God said, I can't throw the whole creation away because that'll make me a liar. See, when I created it, I said everything was good.
Yeah.
Y'all miss y'all shout.
Yeah.
When I created it, I said everything was good. So if I throw the whole thing away, it'll make me a liar. And I'm sorry, I'm God, I can't lie. So even though Satan lied and corrupted Adam and Eve, even though the angels tried to corrupt the women and have these babies and make these hybrids, all this stuff going on, I need you to understand I will not lose. I need you to understand, I'm sorry, I know Jehovah would like to say it a lot, but God said it first, I will not lose. He did it back in Genesis, because all this is going on. And then verse 8 says this, but Noah found favor with God. My God. Woo. Yeah. The earth was evil. Everybody was messed up. But Noah found his favor with God. But why did he find favor with God? I told you about this last week. Because he comes from the lineage of Seth. Enoch, his great-grandfather, Methuselah, his grandfather, Lamech, his father, and then down to Noah. He finds favor. Why? Because they are the only people on the earth worshiping God by name.
Wow.
Back to where we started in verse 9 to 10, this account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at this time, walked in close fellowship with God, and he had three sons. Y'all can see it. I ain't got to read that part again. But look at this. They are the only bloodline left. This is why they're righteous. They are the only bloodline left that hasn't been contaminated by angel blood. By the angel and the women coming together. They're the only ones left. So God said, look, you are righteous. Not that Noah is perfect, because we all know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Since Adam and Eve ate from the tree, all of us have sinned and fallen short. So it's not that Noah is perfect, but he worships God and he has him mixed up into this whole hybrid thing. So God said, look, you're the only blameless person on the earth, or should I say, you're the only person that is worshiping me and walking in close fellowship with me. So if I'm going to press toward my family, first thing is, watch this. They are following my lead. Amen. If I'm going to press toward my family, I got to realize they are following my lead. Amen. The text is clear. It gave an account of Noah, his character, and his conduct concerning God. It was clear about that. His standard of living on the earth. He know who God is supposed to be worshipped. He showing how he walks with God. And then after that, the text went directly to he has three sons. I love that. It went from him, his content, his character, who he thinks God is, and then went right to his children. Can I speak to you this year? Can I speak to your life this year? You're going to stop letting everything influence you? This is the year you stop letting anything and anybody influence you? Yeah, yeah, this is the year you stop letting culture influence you. Yeah, yeah, no more influenced by culture. I'm influenced by Christ. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going to let corruption influence me no more. I'm not going to let selfishness influence me no more. No, no, no. I'm going to let Christ influence everything about me and let my character reflect it. Next time somebody asks you under the influence, say, yes, I'm under the influence of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I'm under the influence of the Most High. I'm super high right now. I got the Most High in me. I'm under the influence. You drunk? Yep, I'm drunk in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. The Bible told me being drunk in the Holy Spirit. I'm drunk in the Spirit. I'm influenced by that. I'm committed.
Yeah.
But I need not just me to be committed. I need my seeds to see it. Why?
Yes.
So they can pass it down. How do you think Noah got to where he at if Enoch wasn't where he supposed to be? If Seth wasn't where he supposed to be? Methuselah, how do you think he got there unless he saw somebody else doing it first? Nothing worse than children, listen to me y'all, having disdain, contempt, or hatred for God because of their parents. Yeah. I think I need to repeat that. Amen. Make sure y'all heard me. There's nothing worse than children having disdain. That's a strong hate, contempt, or hatred for God because of mama and daddy. Because they was holy in church, but hellish outside of it. Because they prayed at church, P-R-A-Y-E-D, but prayed at home, P-R-E-Y-E-D on me. Yeah. They read scripture to the church folk, but turned me down at home. Yeah. They spoke life to the church folk, my God, but spoke curses and death over me. Ain't nothing worse than that for our children to develop their own relationship with God, but because of us as parents have become stumbling blocks in their relationship with God, that they really don't want to fool with Jesus, not because he ain't good, not because he ain't worthy, but because of us. Ooh, amen, lights and walls. Amen, lights and walls. Yeah. They are following our lead, so it's our job to lead them right. Yeah. This world is corrupt and filled with violence. Everyone on the earth is corrupt, is what the Bible says. Look at verse 13. So God said to Noah, I've decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Wow. When it all seems lost, my God. When all seems bad by reading that verse, it don't seem nothing good right there. I love this. When it all seems wrong, watch this. I know one thing for sure. God don't give a word.
Yes,
y'all miss y'all. Shout out to school again. I'm reading verse 13 again, this beginning part. So God said to Noah, comma.
Come on.
Pause. Y'all miss y'all. Shout out.
Yes, come on.
So God said to Noah, amen.
Yes.
The earth is about to be messed up. It's about to be towed down. But God spoke to Noah. My God, I'm grateful for the darkest times of my life. I'm grateful when my family was going through their issues. I'm grateful that when situations arise, when everything seemed chaotic, God saw good enough to speak a word into my life. When I felt hopeless and didn't feel like going on, God stepped in and spoke a word. God always will send a word to you. But I come to find something out, y'all. The only reason Noah got this word and the rest of the world didn't is because of this. It's because sin eradicated their ability to hear.
Wow.
Ooh, my God. Noah got the word, but the rest of the world didn't. And they didn't get it is because sin eradicated their ability to hear.
Woo!
This is why there can be several people in the church and the preacher can be preaching. And some people give their life to Christ and some don't.
Yeah.
This is why I watch this. Some people can feel the need to change. They say, but it's just some stuff I got to clean up. It's just some stuff in my life I know God's not pleased with. So I still got to fix some stuff. And other people say, well, I'm cool. I'm chilling. I don't need to do all that. I'm good where I'm at. Me and God straight. The reason why, watch this, because I'm harboring sin. And when I'm harboring sin, I don't want to hear.
You better preach.
It's a world out here. Not just Noah. It's the whole world. And nobody got a word from God. Ain't it a trip that God is speaking and can't nobody hear him?
Nobody
hear. Ain't it a trip that God is speaking? He's speaking in the text, but only a select person can hear him because other people are so in love with their sin. Ooh. So God gives him a word of reckoning. I'm about to destroy the earth, every creature, because it's filled with violence. Look at this, y'all. Genesis 6:14. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar. Inside and out, then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Amen. And this past summer, we got to go to the Ark. And I encourage everybody, if you've never seen the Ark experience, you need to go to the Ark Encounter and see it for yourself, a real life replica of the Ark and how it looks and how big it is. It will blow your mind. And this was made in biblical times, right? It's a trip. But as I read this scripture, it tripped me out to press on my feeling. The key is this: I must show them who's leading me. Yeah. If I'm going to press on my family, it's my job to show them who's leading me.
Wow.
Not only do I expect them to follow my leading instructions, but they should see me following God's leading instructions as well. Amen. That do as I say, not as I do ideology is over with. Amen. You try to raise some kids in that, okay, try it if you want. They going to laugh at you in your face. They call you faggot. They call you phony, hypocrite, might fight you, cuss you out. Who knows? That do as I say, not as I do. Our generations was different. Amen. We believed it. We roll with that. But no more. That's all. These kids ain't trying to hear that.
That's real. It's life.
So look at what he said. Think about it. There probably was no seemingly need for a boat at this time. No need for a boat. And I say that because why would you need a boat that even from the earth? Let's say some people were fishing, so there might have been a boat or two around, but there wasn't no 450-foot boats around. So it's a trip. And then they had to build it out of cypress or gopher wood. And they had to make decks and install the exterior, and it had to be tarred so it was waterproof. They had to do all this and make a 450-foot boat 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Imagine your daddy coming home and telling you, hey, son, I just heard from God. We got to go build this boat. Oh, we're a little 3 foot so we can go out there and go fishing. Nah, it's 450. 75 feet. I don't know how long it's going to take. All we got is some hammers and some nails, and we ain't got no cranes. It's like the future. So I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to trust God and we got to build this boat. Man, if I asked Gator to help me build a desk, he'd have an attitude. Help me build this desk, girl. He'd have a whole. How long it going to take? When we going to be done? How long the desk going to take, Daddy? I mean, you sure God said build a desk? I missed a trip. Imagine coming home telling your family this. That sounds outlandish. Think about this, because don't get too far. It's never rained before. So not only am I building a boat, so I give y'all maybe the fishing, okay? But I'm saying I need a boat to be on land because rain is coming, and we're not going to survive it unless we do and get in this boat, unless we build it. I can imagine. They might have had an attitude too, but they had to obey. They had to obey Daddy. So they had to build it with these specific measurements. And I love this. They said they had to have an 18-inch opening below the roof, all around the boat. And they had to have three decks. This shows how much they had to pay attention to detail. Because if they didn't pay attention to detail, it could have cost them their lives. It had to have the 18-foot opening because it had to let air in and out. They had to breathe. God knew how long they were going to be on the boat. He knew they were going to be on the boat. It was going to rain 4 days and 40 nights. They were going to spend some time on this boat before the earth went back to normal. So he said, y'all not going to be able to breathe. There's animals on here. It's going to be stinking. They're going to be using the bathroom. Y'all got to be able to breathe. So every measurement has to be to what I said it had to be. So he gives them specific instructions. And he had trusted them to know in his family. Look at this, y'all. Verse 17. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. Wow, this is God talking to Noah again. Nobody's getting this revelation but Noah. Sometimes God's instructions are a matter of life and death. Sometimes when God's speaking, it can't be delayed. Sometimes when it's speaking, it got to be done now or it might not ever happen. Yeah. If Noah didn't show them the commitment and faithfulness to commit to God and show them to be real, his family might not survive. If they would have taken shortcuts, they wouldn't have survived. They would have died in the flood like everybody else. So father, mother, man and woman of God, everybody that is in here, listen to me. Our families, our children's lives sometimes depends on our ability to follow instructions. Everyone on the earth is going to die. Nobody's going to survive unless this boat is built. Make it how I say it, and then I'll tell you when to enter it. What? What? That doesn't make sense. But God said it. That'll hit you Tuesday. It might not make sense, but God said it. I'm reminded of Aaron and his sons. Aaron, who became the first high priest, Moses' brother. Aaron, y'all know Aaron, Moses' brother, the tribe of Levi. He's the first high priest. This is after they left Egyptian bondage in the book of Leviticus. God is setting things in order, and he wants the worship to mimic heaven. So he's showing them how they should worship. And he said, look here, Aaron, I'm going to get your robe together. You the priest. I'm about to hook you up. I need you and your son, the tribe of Levi, to be the first priest. So look at this. In Leviticus 8, they get anointed by Moses to be the priest. Wow. Moses anoints them to be the priest of God in Leviticus 8. Then by Leviticus 10, only two chapters later, they probably not even 90 days on the job yet, man. Probably not even 90. Two chapters later, they ain't been doing it that long. They doing the same thing King Lineage did. Worshiping God how they seem fit. Yeah, they said, look here, I know we're supposed to light the incense this way. I know we're supposed to do it this way, but I ain't got time for all that. I'm in a rush. Let me light the incense this way. Let me give God, let me mix the spice with this one. Let me just do it. Let me just come to church any kind of way, however I want to. Let me feel how I want to feel. I don't care. Give God any kind of praise he won't. Give God any kind of worship he won't. Give him any kind of thanks I want to give. Let me give him whatever I want to give, and he should be happy because I'm even here. He should be happy that I showed up. He should be happy that I'm here. It's how we treat him. But Aaron didn't do it like that. And the worst thing our young people can do as teens and young adults is have parents that have prayed for you, instill godly values in you, show you how to worship God and serve him for real, and you let outside influence or your own human rebellion dictate and make you have deliberate disobedience to God. Woo, that's some of the worst thing our young folk can do. When you got people around you that love God for real and trying to pray for you and help you and encourage you in God, and you decide, I'm going to listen to this influence out here that ain't prayed for you, ain't fasted for you, ain't taught you, ain't nothing. Or you let your own flesh get so feeling so good to yourself that you do what you want to do. Let me try to help somebody else today. You get to pick your sin, but you don't get to pick your consequences. Yeah. You get to pick your sin, but you don't get to pick your consequences. They picked to worship God however they wanted to, and then fire shot up. They died in the tabernacle, burnt up, because they worshiped God how they wanted to. Yeah. You get to pick your sin, but you don't get to pick your consequences. And it's people doing life in jail because they picked the sin. Yeah. They didn't think there was going to be the consequence, but they're going to get away. They doing life in jail. People in the graveyard, because they picked the sin. They ain't going to die behind that, but they picked the sin. It's people with addictions they can't get rid of, because they picked the sin. It's people that got diseases they can't get rid of, because they picked the sin and didn't pick the consequence. Be careful of your picking. Genesis 6 and 18. But I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives, my God. Wow. See, I love this. Following God's will, sometimes the instructions, the plans make you feel crazy.
Come on.
Anybody tell them, anybody besides me? Ever like there? Following God's will, the instructions and the plans sometimes just don't sound to make good sense. To my human reasoning, it just don't sound right. It sound better, God, if I turn right instead of left right now, because I know it's a lot of traffic if I go left. I know I got to go around a couple roundabouts if I go left. It's a straight line, right? Now, it's a straight line. I can get there if I go right. Why I got to go left down there, roundabout, go back up, go back right later to get to the same spot. Yeah. Listen to God and make you second guess yourself.
Come on.
Listen to God and make you wonder, am I the one that's crazy? Did God really say that?
Come on.
Is that what he really meant for me to do? Can you imagine Noah going back to his family? Can you imagine that?
Come on.
See, one thing I learned about this, watch this. God will never send you on a crusade without a confirmation. My God, praise God, amen. Yeah, the Holy Spirit spoke that to me. He will never send you on a crusade, a voyage, a journey without giving you a confirmation. Yeah, Noah, I can imagine, is being stressed out. I got to build this boat for my family. This boat about to be huge. It's only 8 of us. Yeah, it's a cruise liner with 8 people on it. I got to be all these animals in. Everybody talking about me, laughing at me, thinking I'm stupid because they don't know what rain is. I'm telling them, hey, I need to get y'all life together. I need to repent. Get y'all life together. God going to flood this thing, and they ain't listening to me. So now God making me make rooms and stalls for all these animals. How am I going to get animals to the boat in the first place? I'm not an animal trainer. How am I going to get these animals with me to come to the boat? It don't make sense, but God would never send you on a crusade without giving you a confirmation. Okay. Y'all believe me. 6:19-20. Okay, y'all believe me. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. Y'all missed that last part. Y'all missed that. You heard somebody heard me? Will come to you. Just do what I said do. Just build a boat by faith and I'll make the rest happen. See, sometimes we got all the other things. We worried about every little detail. We worried about everything little else. And God said, why are you worried about that? Start that business. Why are you worried about that? Start that degree. Why are you worried about that? Start that idea. Do what I told you to do first. And because you did what I said, I will bring it to you. But we so worried about who coming. We so worried about what's going to be bought. We never start. And then God says, you're not moving in faith, so I can't do nothing with that. Woo! Jesus. He said, bring pair, male and female. This will trip me out, y'all, because it's a press start. I gotta go here real quick, not too long. But he said, bring a pair, male and female. That's important to me because we're in a different climate right now. Anybody knows, Pastor, know I'm far from homophobic, amen. I love gay people. I want to pray with them. I want to encourage them in Christ. I want to share the same God that delivers from adultery, the same God that delivers from homosexuality, same God that delivers from fornication, same God that delivers from homosexuality, same God that delivers from drunkenness, abuse, whatever you're dealing with, God delivers us from it all. We all got a sin issue. Everybody from the top to the bottom has an issue, more than one, to be honest, and we got to let God work it out in our life, but we can't sit there and swallow in our sin. But he says, bring male and female. I told y'all last week, Satan's a copycat. He tries to copycat God. And everything about this, watch this, from human to animal shows what? The order of creation. I'm sorry, but Noah bought two males on the boat, the animals wouldn't be here. If Noah bought two females on the boat, the animals wouldn't be here. If Noah and just his sons went on the boat, we wouldn't be here. So creation brings glory to God, and we can't change that, nor can you can say what you are, but your gender is your gender. You can't pick and choose. And then I don't want to stay here too long, but God gave them a promise, y'all. What promise did God give them when after the flood? Yeah. He put a rainbow in the sky.
That's it. Come on, T.
Who told him to take our rainbow? Yeah. Praise God, amen. Amen. Who told the rainbow belonged to God first? I want my rainbow back. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want it back for us because it represents the promises of God. And the enemy was a copycat. Y'all missed it. It's a copycat. So anything that got something to do with God, I want to flip it and make sure it brings me glory. Why do you think that's the sign that they try to use to manipulate and confuse when God said it's a promise from him? Because the enemy's a copycat, y'all. Woo! So all the birds, all the animals, big, small, will come to you to be kept alive. The confirmation is the ark in the animals. When God sends you on a crusade, he will always send a confirmation. He shows it time and time again. When Moses was called to be the leader of Israel, he showed up. He had killed a man. He ran away. He thought God was done with him. I'm not going to be able to save my people. He shows up, and then he hears what? He sees a bush that doesn't burn up. He goes to the bush, and God says, you the one that's going to free Israel. God gave him a confirmation through that bush. I'm going to send you on a crusade. You're going to have to go battle Pharaoh. You're going to lead millions of people. But the confirmation first came from the bush. Abraham, the father of many nations. We're going back to Abraham next week. I know we started with Abraham. We're going back to him next week. And he told me we're going to have many, 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 many descendants. You're going to have so many descendants of the stars. But Abe is 100 and ain't got no kids. God sends him a confirmation through an angel. You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a son, even though you're 100 years old. Samuel the prophet. Hannah can't have no kids. She's stressed out. God finally gives her a baby. She takes this baby and says, because God gave him to me, I'm going to give him to the church. I leave my baby with the priest. And Samuel, a little boy, and he heard God call him by name as a little boy. He's the first prophet of Israel. God gave him a confirmation as a little boy. Nehemiah, who wanted to rebuild the walls, was tripping, was stressed out. The walls of Jerusalem had been turned down. He's fasting. He's crying to God. And then the king asked him, what's his problem? The king said, what do you need? Is that what bothering you? Well, I'm going to give you enough wood, enough days, enough everything you need to rebuild the walls. And just come on back to me, my God. Joseph, who didn't want to marry Mary, who thought she was pregnant by somebody else, God sent an angel. Whenever God has a crusade for you, he will give you a confirmation. Okay, okay. Jesus, before he started his ministry, got baptized. The heavens opened up. A dove descended on his shoulder. God said, this is my son who I'm well pleased. Before he sent him on his crusade, he gave him a confirmation. When God is about to do something in your life, don't get scared. Don't get bothered. He's going to send you the right people, the right person, the right idea, the right sign to confirm it. And that's what he does. He knows it's hard for us. He knows we got to walk by faith and not by sight. He understands all that. So we have to sit back and realize and see the signs. That's why we big on license plates. When God shows those little bitty things, we got to understand it. So can I suggest to us that God has a crusade for all of us? And the number one crusade is to raise up our families in him. To be fruitful and multiply. That's first things first. That we raise up our families to love God. God confirmed it. What? When we heard the gospel. When we heard the good news of Jesus Christ. He confirmed it. When we believed in his word. Amen. He confirmed it. What? When our hearts and our souls got saved. When we said we are a sinner. We need you, oh God. He confirmed it. When you surrendered to be a part of his church. He confirmed it. When you agreed to answer the call for your life. He confirmed it. When the preacher spoke a word to your heart and it was only something you and God knew. Only you and God knew that, and something out of his mouth came and it touched your heart. God is always giving us confirmations.
Yes, he is.
But because, watch this, we are afraid to change.
My God.
Or afraid of what people got to say.
My God.
We miss the confirmations.
My God.
Can you imagine if Noah didn't press start? Can you imagine if Noah didn't say, you know what? I know what my family taught me, but everybody around me is doing what they want to do, and they seem to be having a good time. I know what my family taught me. I know my great-grandfather got called up by God, and God snatched him up out of here. He didn't even die. Methuselah, I know he told me at his death something crazy was going to happen. I get that, but I look around 500. I've been on this earth 500 years at this point, and everybody doing what they want to do and enjoying themselves. Why not us just join the party? But because he stayed righteous, my God. Because he held on to what he was taught. Because he had enough faith, he heard God spoke. And he avoided the wrath to come.
Thank you, God.
Woo.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you.
We have an ark ourselves. His name is Jesus Christ.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
He came to save us from the wrath to come.
Because
that rainbow I was talking about, where God promised he would never flood the earth again. But he did say he wouldn't burn it up. And when Jesus returns, it's going to be different. Same type of ideology, only certain people are going to be able to go with him. But it won't be by water, it'll be by fire. And that's not a scare tactic, that's the Bible. And because I think sometimes we don't read enough, we don't study, we don't think about what's going to happen. Because I know earth, our time on earth is limited. I'm about to be 40 this week, y'all. Every week, I get a chance to talk to middle school kids every week. And I remember when I was in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And how fast, I look at how fast that time went by. So what all of us got to understand is we're moving through life and matriculating through life. When you start getting up there, I got more days behind me than I got ahead of me. And life is only so long. Even if I live to be a 100 years old, that's just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity.
Come on, God.
God said we're going to live forever when we leave this place. I either live forever with him or experience a second death without him. And I made up my mind that I'm not going to be the reason my family don't know Jesus. Don't get it twisted. Everybody got to make their own decision. I want everybody to come with me. But I'm going to stand like the lineage of Seth. and start, because I believe God says that those that disobey him are cursed. The sins of the father and mother go to the third and fourth generation, but the blessing goes to 1,000 generations. I believe God in his word that if I press start and start a lineage that's producing faith, it'll go on and on and strong. That great, 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 great grandchildren would do great things in the Lord. That I'll be able to be up in heaven and cheer them on and say, God, thank you for letting me press start. That I started a lineage of faith. I don't know about my whole lineage, but I'm pretty sure I'm the first pastor in my lineage. Pretty sure. I don't know. Help me out, Mama. I don't know. Both sides, Mama and Daddy. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure I am. And I'm excited to know that it's going to be generations after me that hopefully my kids can go back and say, this is what Grandfather George did. My kids, he taught us how to pray. He taught us how to believe in God. What's your lineage going to say about you? At the end of the day, we have a world that's trying to wipe out Jesus. That's trying to keep our children, our hearts, and our minds away. And it'll be worse if we make it in, but we don't teach our children. Yeah, we know how to pray. We know how to pray in tongues. We know how to war in the spirit. We know how to read scripture. And these babies left to fend here for themselves. But guess what? We ain't going to be here forever with them.
Yeah.
We got to teach them that when mama and daddy gone, God, he's still there. He's still there. He still hears you. He still cares. He still loves you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So I don't know where you at in your relationship with Christ. Amen. Can everybody stand to their feet real quick? Amen. I don't know where you're at, amen. And whoever comes up, comes up. If you never gave your life to Christ, you need to be saved. Or maybe you're saved and you want to join church. Maybe you want to be baptized. Maybe you just want special prayer. I don't know. But I want you to understand that this thing is deep, y'all. We got to press start. We can't stand where we're at no more. God has a higher calling for all of us. God has a purpose for all of us. God has a plan for our children's lives and our lives. And the steps that we take, the things that we do, the things that we don't do, affect it all. And I can't be so consumed with this world that I don't realize what's going on. I'm so serious. So I don't know if you need something from Jesus today. Amen. If you need to be saved, if you need special prayer, you need to be baptized. I don't know what it may be, but let today be your day. I want God to have his way in your life. Amen. I'm just sick of the devil. I can't even front. I'm sick of the enemy. I'm sick of his lies. I'm sick of his traps, his tricks. I'm sick of him manipulating. I'm sick of all the little things that he does to get us off track. It's time to focus. It's time to ask God to lead me, to guide me. It's time to ask God to surrender. That's what it really is, amen. It's time to surrender. You think Noah wanted to build a boat? Noah might not even been capable of building a boat and having he might not have been a craftsman or a toolsman. And God put this big task before him. But I know that when God asks you to do something, he'll give you the tools to do it. I know the will of God will never send you, but the grace of God won't keep you.
Yeah.
I do know that. So I don't know where it is in your life, man. If you need something from Jesus today, I beseech you, like Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beg you, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, that God wants to do something in your life. So if you need something from God, amen. Maybe if you're online, you can inbox us, praise God. Whatever the case may be. But if you need special prayer, you know what? I don't want nobody going back home feeling the same way you came. No way you should come to worship. No way you should come and get a word and go back home feeling depressed, feeling defeated, feeling down and out, feeling forgotten about. No, that's not the God we serve. So if you need something from God, amen. Y'all know me. I don't rush it. I don't hold you hostage either. Amen. But if you need something from God, amen, I want to help you. I want you to feel and get what God has for you, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, thank you, amen. Is there anybody else, amen? Is there anybody else? Praise God. So, okay, look here. Y'all got to understand this. Y'all should be clapping. Like, I'm at the point in my life, if I got to come to the altar 52 times out of 52 weeks, I'm going to come get whatever God got for me. Because I'm trying to get somewhere, amen. So if you need something from God, be encouraged. that God is here. Be encouraged that God wants to do something in your life. Amen. Is there anybody else? Amen. Maybe you want special prayer, whatever the case it may be. Don't allow God. Amen. Amen. Look at this. This is my buddy right here. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Well, if it's not, I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes and stretch your hands. Amen. As we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, God, here for today, oh God. We thank you for being our God, our King, our God. I ask, oh God, you just come right now in the name of Jesus. You've been in the sanctuary, Father God. I pray for these individuals, oh God. I ask, oh God, you continue, oh God, to be in their lives, oh God. I thank you, God, for what you're doing, a new thing. I thank you for the courage, oh God, the faith, oh God, even by taking steps of faith to go forward, oh God, that you're already working something out in their favor, oh God. You already, oh God, pressing start in their faith, oh God. The situation is going to change right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray, Father God, you are opening the right doors, getting the right connections, oh God. I thank you, God, you are touching the right people's hearts right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. You are making moves, oh God. God moves, oh God. I thank you, God, for the moves, oh God, they are making, oh God, by stepping forward, by trusting you, by stepping out on faith, oh God. Getting out of their comfort zones, oh God. It is something about us when we get uncomfortable, oh God. You come, oh God, and you show up and show out, oh God. The moment we get uncomfortable, oh God, the moment sometimes we feel like giving up, the moment sometimes we feel like we can't bust another move that we've done all we could, Father God. It's like that's when you show up right on time, Father God. You did it for Daniel and the lion's den, oh God. You did it for the three Hebrew boys in the fire, oh God. You've done it so many times and so many times again, Father God. So I thank you, oh God, for you stepping in at the right time, Father God. The common thing is they all had faith, oh God. They all believed and trusted in you, oh God. No matter what the world said, no matter what anybody had to say, Father God, they trusted in you, oh God. So I speak that same faith right here today, oh God. That same faith that trusts God, oh God, in tough times. That same faith that trusts God in different situations. That same faith that trusts God no matter what, Father God. That same faith that believes God is able, oh God, to do exceedingly and abundantly, oh God, more than we can ask or think, oh God, according to the power that works within us, oh God. That same faith, oh God, that moves mountains, oh God. That same faith, oh God, that opens up doors, oh God, and no man can close, oh God. That same faith, oh God, that brings you to us, oh God. That same faith that allows us to experience, oh God, your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, oh God. So we thank you in advance, oh God, for favor. We thank you in advance, oh God, for blessings. We thank you in advance, oh God, for strength. We thank you in advance, oh God, for courage. We thank you in advance, oh God. We believe it already begun, oh God. We praise you, oh God, for what we can't see. We praise you, oh God, for what you're working behind the scenes. We praise you, oh God, for the things that are open up right now, God. We praise you, oh God, for every door, oh God, that's opening up, oh God. Every window of heaven, oh God, that's opening up, oh God, and pouring out blessings, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. We believe it is on its way. We're going to walk in faith, oh God. We're not going to be in doubt. We're not going to be concerned, oh God. We're just going to trust you and have faith and believe all things are working together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We believe you, oh God. We stand on your word, oh God, and we stand in your will, oh God. We declare it, oh God. We decree it, oh God. We believe it, oh God, right now, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.